to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to what promises to be a very memorable broadcast in the history of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday night, August 4th. Happy August, everybody. I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you from our flagship AM radio station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and of course, we're simulcasting online to a worldwide audience at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Tonight, a very busy night. It got busier on Wednesday when we went into the studio to tape an interview that we'll be playing for you tonight during the second hour with a man who has sold 25 million records and won two Grammys, Ray Stevens. The great singer-songwriter Ray Stevens will be on the show a little bit later this evening. You're not going to want to miss that. He has a brand new song out that takes aim at the White House. It's called Obama Nation. Ray Stevens, obviously well-known for hits such as The Streak, Mississippi Squirrel Revival, Turn Your Radio On, Misty. He won a Grammy for that one. Ahab the Arab. I got Keith Alexander over here. Harry the Hairy Ape. Yep, his music spans country, gospel, comedy. He sings it all.
Early 60s to today. He's been on the charts from the early 60s to today. His first big hit was Ahab the Arab, which I think was an accidental hit. He had no idea at the time, but because he was mocking Arabs, the Jewish disc jockeys, who even back then were running the music industry, I mean, they just lit up like a country church when they heard that song. And I mean, it was just a runaway hit. And I think that Ray was kind of swept away in the riptide of it all. What do you think, James?
Well, that may be true, but nevertheless, the recipe for his success came out just right, because he's still out there doing it, still on tour, still doing concerts, still coming out with new material and books and hats and all that stuff. Is at RayStevens.com. We're going to be talking to him in just a little bit. I know Keith's got a busy, a full plate for us, and we're going to get to that in just a second.
Well, let me say one parting shot on Ray Stevens. Ray has now basically got his conservative sea legs under him, and he is just going out hammering tongs against what he sees rightfully as the liberal rot that is destroying America. His latest hit is called Obamanation. So he's going to talk about all of that. He's going to talk about his, you know, just like Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead said, what a weird, wild trip it's been, or whatever it is. Well, that's Ray's career. But Ray's career now has come right to where he is, you know, seeking us out to be on this show, which is wonderful. I tell you what, he's one of our favorites. We play his music every week, his bumper music. So, right, you know, that's not an accident. We know where we're where he's coming from, and it's a place very similar to where we're coming from. Now, let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, James. What have you got to say about that?
Well, we've got a lot to say about it. In fact, as you know, it dominated, absolutely dominated the website this week. I guess about 80% of the stories we posted over the course of the last 7 days at thepoliticalcesspool.org had something to do with the media manufactured controversy with Chick-fil-A. Of course, I say it's media manufactured because 80-90+% of the American population do not believe that homosexuals ought to be allowed to marry and enjoy the same benefits as a God-ordained couple. The evidence is presented every time states are allowed to vote on it. Anytime the people are allowed to vote, without exception, the state referendums swing in our favor. The only support sodomite marriage has is within that tiny sex cult of homosexuality itself and with the media. But if you watch these media stories, it looks as though, you know, it's an even split. Nothing could be further from the truth. Additional evidence was presented at Chick-fil-A locations all across the country on Wednesday, including the one that I went to. I waited in a two-hour line that spanned the length of a football field. That is no exaggeration. The pulse of traditional conservative values still faintly exists. It's just a matter of getting these people mobilized.
But also, this whole episode with Chick-fil-A shows us another very important aspect of the culture war, which is how completely Jewish power and influence controls the national news media. The only reason you think that there is something like an equal split between the proponents of homosexual marriage and the defenders of heterosexual marriage is because the national news media tells you that. But of course, the national news media is dominated by Jewish power and influence. It's cultural Marxism, the long march through the institutions, James, and one of the institutions they've marched through is the national news media. Also, Hollywood. You know, it's been a commonplace observation that most actors are, you know, they're disproportionately homosexual or bisexual. It's been that way since I was watching an old movie today on TV called Captain Kidd, which is in the public domain, by the way, and Charles Laughton starred as Captain Kidd. And even back then, Charles Laughton was a closeted gay. You know, it was an open secret back as early as the 20s and 30s that an awful lot of actors were gay. An awful lot of producers and writers, people in the artistic world were gay, just like it was an open secret that most male interior decorators were gay back then. You know, it's just, but that's a long tradition that has not only continued, but it's strengthened through the years. And that's why Obama came out and wants to have a plank in the Democratic platform favoring gay marriage. And the reason is he knows that he can bundle caboodles of money, tons of money from Hollywood. Hollywood is the past and present masters of bundling big contributions. First of all, it's dominated by Jews. Secondly, it's dominated by homosexuals. And if you come out for homosexuality, I mean, you're really pressing the hot button. You're tickling the G-spot of Hollywood, and you're going to get plenty of money. Obama knows that. But on the other hand, what you've seen this week with the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day is that they have awakened a sleeping giant. Pat Buchanan said, if only the people, the silent majority of America, would exercise the power that they have, but they don't know they have because of all the obfuscation that happens because of the national news media and the entertainment industry, chief among which is Hollywood. Now we're beginning to see it. What I am hopeful of is that there will be a counterattack, not just I stand up and appreciate Truett Cathy and Chick-fil-A, but instead what we're going to do is we need to start attacking and boycotting companies whose CEOs come out in support of gay marriage, like the CEO of KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, or the CEO of Pizza Hut. We need to announce and follow through on a boycott of those businesses, just like the pro-homosexual left is going full speed ahead with their plans to boycott Chick-fil-A. And, of course, if we do that, then we stop preaching and started meddling, and you'll hear all the tut-tutting by all these castrati, as Rush Limbaugh calls them, that are on national news media about how mean the Tea Party crowd is. But I tell you what, you got to fight fire with fire, Jay.
We're gonna fight fire with napalm. We're gonna put a little gas on the embers, and when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're just getting started tonight. It's gonna be a good one. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program. Keith Alexander about to unload on you. Well, first of all, he was talking about Chick-fil-A, and we're going to talk much more about Chick-fil-A in the second hour of tonight's broadcast after we play the Ray Stevens interview. And I say play it because, 99% of the time, the guests that we have on are live on the air with us. Everything we do is produced live. We very, very, very rarely, in fact, I can count on one hand the times we've had to tape something for play on the show. But Ray Stevens is a busy guy. Saturday nights are busy for an entertainer. And so we coordinated a time to tape it. He mentions the Chick-fil-A controversy. In fact, Ray Stevens says he bought a Chick-fil-A for everybody in his office on Wednesday. So you'll hear him talk about that as well as much more at the top of the second hour. And then after the interview with Stevens, we're going to get back into the Chick-fil-A story in greater detail. But Keith, we re-ran an article on our website this week, Strategy for Advocacy. And it was a profound article the first time we ran it. It was equally profound this time, and so much so, when we got together for our weekly lunch to plan the course of the show for the first hour, you said you wanted to make a few comments about it, so take it away, my friend.
I'd like to do it for almost two segments if we could, and that's why, and the reason is this. It's one of those evergreen articles, one of those articles that never gets old but is always pertinent. And it deals with a perennial question. It's like Roger Devlin's famous article, Sexual Utopia in Power, which, we have devoted a whole show before in interviewing Roger Devlin about that article, because that article is so important. It shows how liberalism is tied to the decline in white birth rates, and how feminism and how liberalism generally has caused a deterioration in male-female relationships. Now, this article, which is from the Faith and Heritage website, and we're very friendly with the people over there. In fact, we met with them over at the Council of Conservative Citizens convention back around July the 8th, July 7th and 8th, and it was wonderful to be with those people because they're bright and they're right on top of things. And in this article, the Strategy for Advocacy, they deal with another perennial conundrum that we deal with as committed paleoconservatives, which is, why are so many white elites race traitors? How does that happen? You don't have that problem with any other racial group. Blacks, will not tolerate a race traitor in their midst. If a person is a race traitor, I mean, he's in danger of being assassinated or something. You know, you read the comments that they have for somebody like Jesse Lee Peterson. Even Bill Cosby, Mr. Oatmeal, Mr. Beige himself, they just won't do anything. They won't endorse that type of person at all. Meanwhile, when it comes to white elites, as we saw with the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day dust-up, basically, if a white elite like Truett Cathy, who's a multimillionaire, probably billionaire, in charge of the Chick-fil-A restaurant chain, the founder of it, when he or his, I think it's his son Dan, not Truett. Truett is probably passed on to his reward now, but Dan Cathy, which one is it?
Truett's still alive.
Truett's 91, but he's not doing the day-to-day right. operations. And the guy that made the controversial comments, I think, was Dan Cathy, who is his son and is the one in charge now. But you see, when you come out and... you don't even have to try to be outspoken. You respond to a question in an interview and you say something that is contrary to political correctness, you are going to suffer. Your business is going to be boycotted. It's going to be reported. You're going to have the news media piling on. You're going to have the entertainment industry treating you like you are an untouchable or a leper. Meanwhile, whenever some white elite comes out with some type of race traitor liberal initiative, as they do so often, for example, when the CEOs of Pizza Hut and KFC come out in support of gay marriage, there's no negative consequences to speak of. There are people that silently resolve to do, you know, not to go there or something, but, you know, when all is said and done, more will be said than done. And there's no boycott organized. Conservatives don't do that because they say, oh, well, you know, we've got to support free speech. Well, that's one of the primary principles of cultural Marxism, that you use the principles of your enemy, and we as conservatives are the enemy, against us. They will use our devotion to principle and to free speech and to not punishing people for exercising their rights of free speech against us. Meanwhile, they have no similar compunctions about trying to, honor the principle of free speech themselves. They'll go after you hammer and tongs, and they will destroy you if they can. And that's what they're doing. This is just typical. Now, let's get to this article specifically. What is talked about in this article, it begins by pointing out the altruistic heroism of the young British aviators in the Battle of Britain during World War II, how they went up against overwhelming odds, how almost all of them were killed, but they did it with the proverbial English stiff upper lip, and they did it because there is a social status among white people for altruistic behavior that does not exist in other racial groups. He points out, the author of this article, that for most of the world, they optimize for three different things: wealth, power, and beauty. For whites, we can add a fourth good, social status, oddly achieved through public displays of piety, what he calls PDPs. He said this has been a good thing throughout most of the history of white people. It has led to things like Bojest, Sir Galahad, to sacrificing for the good of the group. The Alamo, for example, would be an example of a PDP, as he uses it here. But unfortunately, liberalism has wheedled its way into our consciousness. That's why we at the political cesspool always say, liberalism is the modern face of evil. We say that for a purpose. Most white people, unfortunately, have internalized the idea that there is such a thing as good liberalism and bad liberalism. And, of course, the primary example of good liberalism in the eyes of most mainstream conservatives, people like Mike Huckabee, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Laura Ingraham, Ann Coulter, you name it, is the Civil Rights Movement. The Civil Rights Movement was actually the first shot in the culture war. It was the first radical egalitarian movement, and it's just as bad as all the rest. And if you give a pass to the civil rights movement, then what you're going to do is you're going to get let the camel's nose in the tent. You're going to give liberalism a beachhead, and you'll never defeat liberalism because liberalism will have a safe haven to which it can retreat and come after you. Well, that's what is happening. You have people, and of course, the most important negative of saying that the civil rights movement is good is that you have allowed yourself to embrace the idea that liberalism isn't all bad. It's good. At least there's part of it that's good. And what this leads to is white people trying to support charity that support liberalism. Liberalism, through the long march through the institutions of cultural Marxism, has taken over almost every important charity, not only in America, but in the West generally. Everything is to help the poor, and the poor are always the non-white poor. There is nothing for white poor people. There are no scholarships for white poor people. There is no food aid for white poor people. There is no refugee status for white people in places like South Africa and Zimbabwe, who are the victims of not just racial discrimination, but just out-and-out cruelty and bloodshed. But again, this is what has happened. We've let it happen, and we'll get back to more of this after this break and some words from our sponsors.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, LighthouseLiterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to LighthouseLiterature.com, a bright light for the right.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. to get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We
gotta get out. All right, everybody, keep in mind and don't forget that we are only about 30 minutes away from presenting to you our interview with the Grammy winner Ray Stevens and his thoughts on the Obama Nation, as he puts it. Ray Stevens joins a long list of entertainers who have visited the political cesspool, including Ted Nugent and many others. But before we get to that, can't break up Keith's outstanding momentum as he continues to break down this article, which is a must-read for everybody listening to the program tonight around the world. Strategy for Advocacy. At thepoliticalcesspool.org, Keith is giving you the fine points right now.
We published this on July the 31st. Let me just give you a little thumbnail of it up until now. Basically, the question that this article deals with is, why are white elites so often race traitors, traitors to their own kind, traitors to the good cause of conservatism, the conservative values that allowed them to become elites in the first place, to amass wealth? They follow conservative principles, but then they get seduced, introduced into giving it all away to a bunch of cockamamie liberals and do a lot of damage to society, and they do no good at all to their own people, which should be their first priority. Why does this happen? Well, this article, which is in the Faith and Heritage blog site, does a good job of examining this problem, and they come up basically with this thumbnail sketch. It said that people everywhere, not just whites, but blacks, Latinos, Asians, Middle Easterners, you name it, all try to optimize three things in their lives: wealth, power, and beauty. Whites try to do this as well. But in addition, whites do something that no other group does. They try to obtain social status, and they get social status very often by charitable giving. And unfortunately, because of cultural Marxism's long march through the institutions, most of our charities are now run by liberals. In fact, there are a lot of people that would be absolutely shocked. For example, Henry Ford, Andrew Carnegie, John D. Rockefeller, all staunch conservatives in their days that set up charitable foundations. Those foundations have now been totally co-opted and commandeered by the left, and they do nothing except promote liberalism. Well, basically, elites don't even have to go into these major charities now. They set their own up because liberalism has become very fashionable. We know why wealthy Jews are liberals, because they work against the interests of white Gentiles. We know why blacks always support other black people if they, in the rare instances in which they get wealthy enough and they want to, you know, have some type of charitable outreach of some sort or another. They have their values right. They take care of their own kind. Why do whites not do that? They don't do it because they have been seduced into believing that liberalism is good, or at least parts of liberalism are good, and that's why we at the political cesspool always make it a point to emphasize that liberalism is the modern face of evil. And to do this, we point out the biblical admonition that do not be deceived, you shall know them by their fruits. Can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit? Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And we then turn that directly against the idea that the civil rights movement was somehow good. What was the primary or the opening volley of the civil rights movement? It was school racial integration, public school racial integration. It's still a battle that's being fought today, even here in Memphis and Shelby County, because people that actually have to live with the consequences of this know how bad it is. And I think we're going to run a blog entry this week that will show you exactly what we're talking about, and I don't want to gild the lily too much, but be on your toes and watch the blog this week, and you'll see, I hope, what we're talking about. But look at what has happened to public education in America since the Brown versus Board of Education decision. Quite frankly, it's been one unremitting failure after another. It's been a steady, ever-increasing decline. We used to be proud of our public education in America. It used to be one of the points of pride that we pointed to as a triumph of American society. We used to be at the top of the developed world when it came to the academic achievement of our public education sector. Now our public education sector is at the very bottom of the developed world, and it's because of all the third world people, blacks, Latinos, and others, that have been invited into America by liberals to try to cause America to decline. This is what they want to do. They do not want white people to have an enclave, and as a result, public education is in the crapper, to put it bluntly, and has been for a long time. But again, try to get some person in authority in government, in the media, in the entertainment industry to admit to that fact. They would rather drink rat poison. And see, we need to bring this out, that everything that liberalism does is bad, and therefore if you support liberalism, you're supporting death, destruction, dissolution, degradation, and all of those things. But our elites continue to do it. Now, here's a little vignette that the author of this article says. He said, there's an additional pride to this outlook as well. The attitude that I earned it, therefore I had the right to give it all away to enhance my status in the liberal white pecking order. The upper class has this same attitude about IQ, denying the heritability that they can explain their success by their superior virtue rather than genetics and circumstance, which of course reflects more positively on their mutable qualities as a person. Now, again, in the old days, we had a sense of ancestral history. You know, I was at a cemetery today riding my bicycle, and I was looking at that cemetery. It's an old-fashioned cemetery that has real headstones, real monuments, real family crypts, and things like this. And I've read about these, I guess you would call it graveyard culture of America in the 19th century and the early 20th century. Families used to go to the family grave sites, or the part of the, every family had a section where their relatives were buried, and they would go out there and they would have a picnic on Sunday, and they would tend to the graves. They would pull the weeds. They would plant flowers. They would clean moss and things like this off of the headstones. They don't do that anymore. And the reason is there's been a total decline in any sense of ancestral pride. If you don't have a sense of ancestral pride, you don't feel you have a responsibility to the people that come after you, and you also don't think that you have a responsibility to keep hoisting the flag ever higher based on the sacrifices that your ancestors made to put you where you are. Now, white people have given that up. Asians haven't given it up. Latinos haven't given it up. Black people haven't given it up. But white people, you ask a white person now who their great-grandparent is, or where that great-grandparent is buried, or even their grandparents. And I guarantee you, probably more than 50% can't tell you where their own grandparents are buried. And if you ask them, well, take me to the grave. I want to see the grave where Granddad John or Grandmama Irene is buried. They couldn't do it. It's because of the rootless society that's developed, you know, in this corporate culture partially. And it's also partially because liberalism doesn't want you focusing on things like that. Because if you don't feel that you have a sense of responsibility, why not get this money and give it away like Bill and Melinda Gates do, for example, and all of these other white elites? It's basically a way of, showing your contempt for natural human instincts, like a sense of, you know, your own kin. And I believe it's the Bible that says that a person that doesn't provide for their own kind is no better than a pagan. Well, that's what we have become in the white race because of liberalism. Again, all of these problems track back to liberalism and the triumph of liberalism. Liberalism, every aspect of it, is intended to basically disable our cultural immune system so that we are no longer able to sustain ourselves or sustain our position in society. This article is a great article, James, and I would recommend that anybody read it. Now, they talk about one other thing, too, and they said the great exception to the success of liberalism getting white elites to act crazily and to turn on their own kind and be race traitors, traitors to their own family, traitor to their own kin, were the newly rich Scots-Irish whites of the South who got rich in the oil boom. You know, they made a TV show to make fun of this called the Beverly Hillbillies. And quite frankly, in paleoconservative circles, I've heard them say, this is a group that we need to really focus our fundraising on because these people haven't bought into it to the extent others have, James. We've got another break coming up, folks, and we're going to get on to another topic after these words from our sponsor.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the political cesspool radio program. We're only minutes away from hearing from the legendary Ray Stevens, the streak himself, man, 25 million albums sold, 2 Grammys. He's coming up at the top of the second hour. Keith was breaking down the exquisite article, and you know, certainly we believe it to be a good article because we've posted it twice this year. Strategy for Advocacy talks about some of the afflictions that faces our people that doesn't seem to bother people outside of our ethnic group, racial group, and that is the strive to attain social status. And Keith has done a great job of breaking down this epic piece. But Keith, I got to ask you, we understand the problem now. We understand the affliction. How do we go about making things better? How do we go about curing ourselves from this ailment?
Basically, by adopting the strategy of the left. What did the left do? Read Alinsky, read the cultural Marxists. They came up with a theory called critical theory, which begs the question, what is a theory? The theory is relentless criticism of your ideological opponents. We need to turn this around. For example, on the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, rather than having a Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, we need to have a boycott that is directed at these white elite race traders like the CEO of Pizza Hut or the CEO of KFC. We need to advertise it, and we need to really make it hurt. Just the way, you know, we don't need to be worried about whether or not we drive these people into bankruptcy. Quite frankly, if they're at the very least, we'll teach white elites to keep their doggone mouth shut on these issues and to stop giving a wet mitten across the face to conservatives, which are the majority of the people in the United States. Now, we need to mock and ridicule these people. The way that the cultural Marxist left, like Saul Alinsky, if you read his little booklet, says to do, you freeze them and you personalize them and you mock them and you drive them underground, okay? That's what we've got to do. We've got to make it so that there is a downside to supporting liberal causes for white elites. Right now, there is no downside. There's only an upside. You'll get kudos from the national media, just like Tim McCarver did. We were talking about last week how Tim McCarver was a forgotten man in Memphis until when he was put into the Cooperstown Hall of Fame as a baseball broadcaster, said he was going to spend money on black kids trying to get them involved in baseball in Memphis. And suddenly, there's one article after another in the local newspaper about what a jolly good fellow Tim McCarver is. Well, we need to mock him and deride him. We need to point out that we have a professional NBA basketball team here in Memphis, but there's no RBS, Return Basketball to the Suburbs program. There's all this concern that black kids aren't playing Major League Baseball, but there's absolutely no concern. The silence is deafening about there not being any white Americans to speak of in the NBA. In fact, the only participation whites have in the NBA is as a ticket-buying public. Again, we need to call this, we need to name them and shame them. We need to go after these elites. We need to make fun and ridicule people like Tim McCarver. We need to ridicule any white elite that does not show racial solidarity with his own kind. That is the only way we're going to turn this thing around. We're going to have to adopt the tactics of the left. And we know the tactics of the left work because they're winning the culture war, James.
Well, that's right. But there are pockets of resistance that are willing to stand up and speak out on behalf of our core interests. Obviously, the political cesspool is leading that way in mainstream media, being on a syndicated AM/FM radio network. But it's not enough. And we know that there are millions of people that are out there. This Chick-fil-A ordeal was just the latest manifestation of that. We've seen it before with the proposed amnesty from a few years back. Every now and then, white America will stand up and body slam the left. But they do it far too irregular. And they never follow up. So, you know, we need to have that kind of zeal and that kind of ruthlessness displayed each and every time our interests are imperiled. We have the numbers. I still believe that the vast majority of middle-class red state Americans believe with stand with us fundamentally on the issues, but they just don't flex their muscles nearly enough. But Keith, we had, I guess Memphis is not unique in this, local elections and primaries were held this past Tuesday. Break down what happened in Memphis and why what happened in local Memphis politics is pertinent for our global audience.
Well, what happened in Memphis was the primary issue on the ballots was all of the suburban municipalities in Shelby County, where Memphis is located, had referendums to determine whether or not they would have a municipal school district for every municipality. Arlington would have an Arlington school district, Germantown, Germantown school district, Bartlett, where James lives, a Bartlett school district. If they did that, the largest minority participation in any of these municipalities would be 25% in the city of Millington. Germantown would have 3%. Collierville would have less than 10%. Arlington would have 8%. Bartlett would have about, 12, 13%. And, of course, the left is going berserk. They brought a lawsuit saying you can't do that because that'd be resegregating. Of course, their big problem is that the most recent Supreme Court announcement on this issue was a case from 2007, and it was involved, parents for some parent group versus the city of Seattle, and it involved Louisville schools, Seattle schools, Charlotte, North Carolina schools, and basically what the Supreme Court said in 2007 is that's no longer a consideration unless you can prove that there is actual racial animus involved against minorities. If it turns out that having local control means having fewer black people or a smaller percentage of black people in the school district, so what? Now, this is causing a lot of leftists, like the people at the SPLC, to become unhinged almost. I talked 2 weeks ago about an article in the Commercial Appeal from Saturday, July the 21st, 2012, Diverse Schools Are Essential for Our Nation's Success, written by Maureen Costello, who is a card-carrying member of that great organization, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a bunch of gonzo Jewish liberals down in Montgomery, Alabama, of all places, who milk these Holocaust-haunted elderly Jews into giving them money because the KKK is a cryptocracy of America. They secretly run everything, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Well, what is happening in Memphis is like a canary in the coal mine to the rest of America. Basically, Memphis is at a crossroads. In fact, even the liberal editor of the Commercial Appeal, the daily newspaper in Memphis, has said as much. But what they don't seem to recognize is this. If you do not give white working class and lower middle class people a refuge and a resource to protect themselves against the obvious social pathologies that are associated with black people, with Latino people, with all sorts of third world minorities, or people that originated from the third world and live here. Of course, living here doesn't ameliorate the problem at all. Black people have been here since 1619, but they still have the same pathologies they always had in America. And again, if we run that particular blog entry I'm talking about, you'll see this up close and personal from Memphis, and you'll have a real good indicator of why the people that live in these suburban municipalities want to have a school system separate from the one in Memphis. But this is what is, happening throughout the nation. We're really going to have a standoff. And if the left is bound and determined that we can run but we can't hide, they're going to take us over, they're going to get our money, and they're going to make it so that your children have to be thrown together with people who are violent, who are 15 points lower on average in IQ, and furthermore, everything is going to be done so that they're given preference and your children are not. And that will be an intolerable situation, and that is going to lead directly to Memphis, for example, becoming the new Detroit, and then Nashville will become the new Memphis, Dubuque, Iowa will become the new Nashville, and on down the line. This is why we've got to stand and fight, and I'm glad to see that the people in Memphis and Shelby County, the good white people of this neighborhood, of this area where we live, have finally decided that enough is enough. They're coming out. They've been backed into the corner. They're coming out swinging, and hopefully they're going to win, because this is what, if they don't win, we all lose. If America becomes a third world hellhole, which is, that's what is predicted. That's what the left has in mind, and quite frankly, that's what the leftists who are in the know want. There are a lot of useful idiots out there that think that they're going to have a wonderful, future with multiculturalism. But the real brains in the left know that they're doing this for destructive purposes. So that was the main thing in Memphis. And we've got to get people, we've got to raise their awareness. We've got to let them know that this is a high-stakes game and that their future and the future of their children and their grandchildren
hangs in the balance. 1 hour down and 2 to go.
Keith Alexander, the great, everybody. Nobody can do it like he does. We're so blessed and fortunate to have him as part of our hosting staff. Truly the greatest mind in the movement as far as I'm concerned. We got to take a break. I want you to listen to this song that we're playing right now because we're going to be talking to the man who made it famous at the top of the second hour. We'll be right back.
It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the 8.